stories from around the corner.
And around the country.
You're listening to All the Best.
Proudly supported by the Art Gallery of New South Wales.
You're listening to All the Best from FBI Radio 94.5. I'm Madhura Prakash. Before we get into this week's stories, I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge that I'm recording from stolen Gadigal land and pay my respect to Gadigal elders past and present, and also recognize that the area where FBI Radio is situated, Redfern, has long been a place of storytelling, strength, resistance, and resilience for First Nations communities. This week, our storytellers compare their youthful expectations of life and love to their less naive realities. I always say that if you went back in time and told teenage Madhura that they would grow up to be a lesbian, they would be absolutely fuming. That might be an unexpected reaction, but I'm really just being realistic. When I was a teen, I didn't know any openly gay people in real life. While I quietly watched many gay YouTubers, who I was fascinated with for reasons I couldn't quite name, queerness wasn't something that ever permeated my everyday life. Of course, I knew that there was something queer about me, but that was something to be pushed down deep, deep inside and actively ignored. In fact, as a teen, my crushes really conveniently aligned with exactly what my parents would want. I told myself that the people I found attractive were nice Tamil boys that were likely going to grow up and study engineering or medicine. Did I actually want to talk to or interact with them? No. But that's just shyness, not latent lesbianism. Eventually, I grew to accept my sexuality and came out as gay. And I do think my younger self would be in awe of the freedom and happiness with which I live today. But I think it's funny to look back and think about how if teen Madhura had their way, I'd be married to a man with a kid on the way. A picture-perfect representation of their community's expectations. Meanwhile, for current Madhura, defying those expectations is the key to a happy life. In our first story, Danny revisits the movies that they loved as a teenager, but finds that they don't quite hold up to modern-day scrutiny.
Back in 2007, Kevin Rudd announced a slew of new education policies.
This is an education revolution.
And the most famous, or infamous, policy was the laptops. Thanks to Kevin, when I reached year 9, I was given a laptop of my very own, which I thought was great. But at the time, there were some parents who seemed concerned.
You don't actually know always what they're doing and what they've got access to. You go into their room to see what they're doing and the screen will be slammed down.
Honestly, looking back, that concern was totally justified. I'm not sure about the other kids, but I certainly wasn't using my Kevin Rudd-provided laptop for educational purposes. Why would I be doing schoolwork when I had a USB full of TV and movies to watch? This was, after all, the first time in my life that I was able to watch what I wanted whenever I wanted. No more, wait until the footy's over, Danielle. Let your brother watch play school. Oh, well, you should be doing your homework anyway. Finally, I'd found freedom, and I was spoilt for choice. One girl in my grade had downloaded everything. Vampire shows, reality TV, horror movies, I had it all. But by far, my favourite thing to watch was romantic comedies. Love is in the air. Anything starring Hugh Grant, Jennifer Lopez, or Meg Ryan, I'd be watching that 5 times in a week. Extreme, I know. But year 9 was tough. My skin was pimply, my hair frizzy. I didn't understand the playground politics or my math homework, and my feelings of inadequacy were confirmed that year when I was cast as a tree in Rocker Steadford. Rom-coms offered me an escape to a world where the main character always had an amazing job, a chic New York City apartment, clear skin, and perfectly styled hair. No frizz, no flyaways. Eventually, my infatuation with rom-com fantasies became less intense. I started to feel less like the kind of person who would be cast as a tree and more like the main character of the story. I didn't need to experience dates and parties vicariously through movies anymore because I actually had plans on the weekend. But then, last year, the pandemic shut everything down and I no longer had plans on the weekend. So one night, feeling nostalgic as I scrolled through Netflix, I found myself browsing the rom-com category, thinking that maybe I could once again turn to their idealistic, dreamy world to escape reality. I went on a deep binge, letting the Netflix algorithm feed me rom-com after rom-com.
You had me at hello.
I like you, just as you are.
I'm also just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her.
I want all of you forever.
I must say I hate the way I don't hate you.
You find that love actually is all around.
It just didn't feel the same as it had when I was 14. As much as I tried, I just couldn't fully escape my own conscience.
What did he say?
So why are there only white people in this movie? Isn't it supposed to be New
that
York?
That kiss was not consensual.
Definitely not appropriate behavior for the workplace.
Oh my god, he's old enough to be her dad.
The more I watched, the more I realized the dreamy world of rom-coms isn't actually that dreamy. There are some obvious issues with classic rom-coms that I was already pretty aware of, but I discovered there's also some more subtle tropes at play. There's the nice guy who always gets rewarded, even though he's not actually that nice. You know him. In Love Actually, he shows up on Christmas Eve with cue cards to profess his love for his best friend's wife.
Hi.
And for his efforts, instead of being met with a restraining order, Keira Knightley chases him down the street and gives him a kiss. Then there's the Determinator guy, who believes he can turn a no into a yes.
She doesn't need any space. She may be into her career, but what she's really saying, possibly, try harder, stupid.
Normalizing the idea that if you just keep harassing women, they'll eventually give in.
You want to dance with me?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want
Remember to. Ryan Gosling in The Notebook?
Get down, no, you're gonna kill yourself!
After being rejected, he climbs the Ferris wheel and dangles from the top by one arm in front of Rachel McAdams, threatening to seriously injure or kill himself if she doesn't say yes to a date.
Alright, well, you leave me no other choice then.
Okay, fine. I'll go out with you.
No, don't do me any favors.
No, I want to.
You want it?
Yes!
You want it. Say it.
I want to go out with you.
Say it again.
I want to go out with you!
All right, we'll go out.
Then there's the ugly duckling makeover montage. You know how it goes. The leading lady just isn't lady enough, so she gets a makeover.
Hands, remember. You will be beautiful.
Her hair is straightened, her eyebrows are plucked, blush is dappled on her cheeks, out with the glasses, right. In with the contacts, and a much more feminine wardrobe. As a 14-year-old, I'm not sure I fully clued into the messaging behind this trope. But watching these scenes now, I get the message that if you don't reflect Eurocentric beauty standards, have designer clothes, and exist within the gender binary, then bad luck, buddy. You're just not worthy of love. Even more disturbing, male validation is so often tied into the ugly duckling transformation.
Sandy!
Tell me about it, Stir.
In the grand reveal scene, the camera pans straight to the reaction of men, socializing the little girls watching to view their own bodies through an observer perspective. I realized in horror that I totally absorbed this problematic messaging, and I reckon some of the young men I know did too. Far from hitting me with a sense of sweet nostalgia, these scenes brought back traumatic experiences, like being sexually harassed in the workplace, a non-consensual kiss from an acquaintance that in his mind was a totally appropriate gesture of love, being chased down an elevator by a guy who just wanted to talk to me because apparently he'd never seen anyone so beautiful. I realized that so many times I've felt scared and unsafe were instances of guys acting the exact way that's normalized in rom-coms. My mum, a Gen Xer concerned about cancel culture, is always saying stuff like, "But that's just what it was like back then." And sure, these movies are a product of their time, but that doesn't mean that we can't rewatch them through a critical lens and acknowledge that the popular tropes from the rom-com golden age are deeply flawed and honestly messed me up. I guess I did get an education of sorts thanks to my school laptop. You could say that all that time spent sitting on my Hannah Montana beanbag watching rom-coms, I was looking at case studies of unrealistic and unhealthy romantic relationships. And I did learn something. I know for sure that I never want anyone to threaten to throw themselves off a Ferris wheel for me, even if they look like Ryan Gosling.
That story was produced by Danny Stewart. Up next, Holly shares the story of how she fell in love with Byron Bay and the other loves she encountered on the way.
So I'm Holly. I'm from Byron Bay. I'm really sorry about that. I actually tell people I'm from Lismore. It's so embarrassing now. Okay, I wrote this comic 7 years ago. I'm 48 now. I was 41 when I wrote it. So it was shortlisted for an Australian Comics Award, Ledger Award, and it was for my first comic. And so that's just me saying that it's never too late to be amazing. Since then, I've done 9 comics and zines and working on a graphic novel, and I'll probably never finish it like most people. It was all done ink on paper, and I did it through the middle of summer in Byron, and it was dripping, and there's a lot of white tape. It's a nostalgia piece. It's all true. All the names have changed except for Sonny's name, and his name is too good to change, and I asked him before I printed it, and he said that was fine. That's all with that. And I know I still sound like a stoned 16-year-old teenager, but I swear I'm not. Byron Bay, a time and place. It's me. It's Sunny. I was a hippie. The year was 1992. I was 16 years old. My friend Eloise and I caught the overnight bus from Sydney to Byron Bay. Hurry up, the bus is leaving. I'd heard of this magical town, Byron Bay, when my auntie gave me a Byron Live Poets anthology for my 15th birthday. The dolphin's infidelity embraces the cup of my embryo fantasy. I like it, but what does it mean? Our friend Hildy had recently moved to Byron Shire and we planned to stay at her Nuribar place. Oh, see, that's me saying words the other way. Get used to it. Hildy's house, Midgeon Flat Road. Hildy and our other friend Ellen, who was also up on holidays, met us unfresh off the bus at Angel Cafe. Hey, ladies. Suppertime blues. It's a classic cafe. On my first evening in Byron Bay, I met Hildy's boyfriend Seamus and his best friend Sunny Surf. Sunny Surf, is that your real name? Yes, it is, but Sunny is spelled S-O-N-N-Y and Surf is C-E-R-F-F. Oh my God, I'm so in love. The next day we went camping at Broken Head, a nearby quiet beach and campground. If I eat any more kiwi fruit, I'm going to puke. The boys joined us in the evening. So, Sunny Surf, do you actually surf? All the time. But I don't like it when my hair goes blonde. I don't want to be seen as a surfer. I'm grunge, you know? And later in the tent. Thank you for the sound effects. It needs it. Unfortunately, I was so stoned, I fell asleep while kissing him. What? Hey. I was so happy, so complete. I knew I'd found paradise. I'd found my new home. We've got to let love rule. However, I still had a year and a half of school to complete. I returned to Sydney. Sunny and I wrote to each other. I'm in English class, not the holy type. Bummer, totally bored. I surf Lennox Point before school. My hair is bleaching. Ah, miss you. Once school finished for the year, I was back in Byron, this time for the whole summer. So happy to be back. Though I'd come up with friends from Sydney, I was establishing new friendships with local people. Whose idea was it to walk to the lighthouse at night? What do you mean? I do it all the time. Thanks, Gabe. And of course, there was Sunny. We reignited our connection and made galaxies in the sand. It's the glowing phosphorescence in the sand. You can only see it when there's no moon. It's amazing. We're tripping on mushrooms as well. My friend Deanna and I hitched to Kurrabowl to see Earth Reggae. Oh yeah, oi oi oi. I hung out at Jimmy's house at 5 Marvel Street, a quiet residential street of weatherboard houses. I'm going to town. Do you want anything? Carob ginger from Santos. Inside joke. One day at Byron Market, Sunny was acting strange. Are you okay? Yeah, I don't want to hang out anymore. I'm busy. I'm sorry. Later that day, I saw Sunny with another girl. Oh, no. Shame. I was devastated. I'll never love again. Am I too ugly? I thought he was the one. I want to die. I returned to Sydney for my final year of high school. However, my longing for Byron compelled me to take time off school to go back north. You're only 17. This is an important year for you. It's only for 2 weeks. I'll do what I want. This time I stayed with my friend Gypsy in Kingsley Street. We're all going to Grey's Beach. Want to come? Sure. We've got to pick up Candace on the way. What is this place? It's Suffolk Park. It's a loser place to live. completely dead. Candace only lives here because the rent is cheap. After I finished my final exams that year, I packed my things and officially moved to Byron Bay. Are you sure? You're only 18. Yes, Mum. It's my destiny. Eventually, I settled at 40 Shirley Lane with Linda. Sorry. Actually, with Linda. But I'm calling her Layla here. She's dead now. Anyway. So many people on this comic are dead now. 40 Shirley Lane with friends Toby, Jude, Layla, and her young daughter, Iris. If I eat any more mangoes, I'm going to puke. We lived a short walk to the beach. Lately, I seem to walk as though I have wings. And just around the corner from the epicenter, an old whaling station converted into a large venue art space. Gypsy Moon, when Nicolette was playing that night, I didn't know until years later. The epicenter also encompassed art studios, an art school, an exhibition space, a yoga center, and for a time, a cult and a vegan restaurant, unrelated. You've arrived early, and we've come straight from the dance party next door. Sometimes we'd sleep on the beach at Belongil. Oh my God! That's the biggest comet I've ever seen! Queen Mattress would drag it down there. And wake up to see all the other folk who had slept on the beach too. Hey! I loved the endless stream of performance art and parties, events, and at parties, events, and on the street. Wow. I'm not going to sing that. I'd even become friends with the poets I'd read in my old Byron Live Poets anthology. The dolphin's infidelity embraces the cup of my embryo fantasy. But John, what does it mean? In a way, my existence was quite ideal. However, the curse of youth can be the inability to recognise or even enjoy how good one's life is. My confusion and lack of life skills sometimes clouded my ability. I really did own a motorbike for a car. Now the year is, well, when I wrote it, 2017. I am 41 years old. I am still here. Byron Bay has changed. Bloody tourists. A lot. Bloody traffic. But then again, so have I. Bloody hippies. I stand with my lover and my best friend. They too are lovers. We are one love. Over the years, I've learned that even in paradise, your shit, conditioning, trauma, stuff, follows you wherever you go. I wonder if I can buy Valium over the counter. Shortly after my 39th birthday, I hit an emotional rock bottom at the end of a particularly painful relationship, as well as realising I probably wasn't going to have children. Don't worry, I'm cool with it now. Holly! Do I know you? It's me, Sunny! Sunny! I always thought that when I'd finally run into Sunny, I'd be all fabulous, beautiful, and together. He'd feel remorse and sadness at having dumped me all those years ago. I love my life. I have an amazing husband, and I've just been voted hottest woman over 30. Wow. But instead, it was real, very real. How are you? I'm a mess, actually. How are you? I'm sorry to hear it. I'm okay. After some small talk, this has got to sound really weird, and I know it was forever ago, but it really hurt me when you dumped me at Byron Market. I was devastated a really long time. I'm so sorry, Holly. I really am. It's okay. We were just kids, but I still needed to say it. You're not the first woman to say that to me. I've made a lot of mistakes. Me too, Sonny. Me too. I really cared about you. Thank you. I cared about you too. Hug? Reality was so much better than fantasy. I felt an old wound heal. I felt our younger, innocent selves meeting in our embrace. We are now friends. Byron Bay isn't what it used to be. Rich city folk bought it. They're going to renovate it, then holiday let it to other rich city folk. It's a shame that people who grew up here can't afford to live here anymore. Some people say it's ruined. This used to be a secret spot. Ain't nothing sacred. But it is still a magical place. It is still my magical home. Yeah, because we all live in Suffolk Park now because no one can afford Byron. But now no one can afford Suffolk Park. I wonder if I'll still be here at 60.
That story was by Holly English, read live at Read To Me. Keep up to date with Read To Me events via their Instagram at readtome_, and see more of Holly's work at hollyenglish.com. All the Best would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we make these stories and pay our respects to elders past and present. All the Best is made at FBI Radio on Gadigal land, in association with SYN and 3RRR on Wurundjeri Woiwurrung and Boon Wurrung lands, and ACCC on Arundi and Warramungu lands. The All the Best editorial producer is Mel Bakewell, and Phoebe Adler-Ryan is our executive producer. Our social media producer is Isabella Lee, and our social media assistant is Seth Emmerich. Patrick McKenzie is our community coordinator, and Janae Madden is our content assistant. Shining Bird composed our theme music, and Annie Hamilton designed the artwork. We're heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network, and were made possible by the Art Gallery of New South Wales and the Community Broadcasting Foundation. You can find our full archive of more than 500 episodes at allthebestradio.com. I'm Madhura Prakash. Thanks for listening.